You there, Connor?
She's still there.
I was on mute.
All right.
I am here.
All right, we're going to start. Okay, I have to read this. Okay, I am Tai Hao Wu, chairperson of the Utah Acupuncture Licensing Board, and I'd like to call this meeting of the Utah Acupuncture Licensing Board to order. It is now time 9:07 on July 12th, 2016. This meeting is held in room 475 of the Hebert M. Wells Building in Salt Lake City, Utah. In compliance with the Utah Open Meeting Law, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. This recording is classified as a public record. The following board members are in attendance. Tai Hao Wu, chairperson, Natalie Clausen, and Connor Weber. And the following board members are absent, Reagan Archibald. And the following individuals representing DAFL and the Department of Commerce are in attendance, Larry Marks and Lisa Martin. And we welcome all visitors and interested persons at this time. Please be sure to sign in the attendance report for the meeting and identify yourself before speaking. As a courtesy to everyone participating in this meeting, at this time we ask for all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices to be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes. And now let's proceed to our agenda. Okay. So, we have to read and approve our board minutes. So, I want to make a motion to approve our.
I would like to make a correction. I was present at the meeting on the 22nd, and I'm going to be absent.
Can we make a motion on that correction?
Yeah, we need someone besides the chair to make a motion to make that. I think that's a motion to correct it.
I make a motion to correct that.
Do we need anyone to second that motion?
I second that.
Okay.
This is Conor Weber. I second that.
All right. And do we vote on it?
Yeah.
Okay, and we vote. We can make a vote. Aye to amend the minutes. Aye. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
All righty. And the minutes have been amended. And do we need to approve those?
Any other corrections?
Any other corrections? Do we have a motion to approve the board minute?
I motion to approve the board minutes.
And you want to second that motion, Connor?
I second that motion.
Okay.
Thank you.
And let's make a vote to approve the March 22nd board minutes. Say aye.
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 Okay. So the minutes have been approved and voted upon. And we'll continue with our discussion items. First, on our discussion on our agenda is kind of a continuation of our prescriptive authority discussion, and we also wanted to have clarification and discussion on some of the rule, like within our rule on the legend drug, and talk about that rule. that we have. There is a... it's in our rules.
It's in Kevin Badana from the Utah Attorney General's office. It's here. Kevin's been working on an opinion request,
mm-hmm.
and he has a draft on that, but it's not been completed,
okay.
so it's not to the point where it can be published.
Okay.
But we can still discuss that.
Okay. Yeah, we want to discuss that. And also, just one of the things that was brought to my attention was a rule that was put in, I think it was put in a while ago, a couple, 3-4 years ago, something like that. But it's under definition, there's administration, and it says administration.
What are you referring to?
And the rule, it's called the Acupuncture Licensing Act rule.
R156-72-102.
And it says administration is used in subsection 58-72-102-4B-II, means the direct application of a herb, homeopathic or supplement by ingestion, topical inhalation, or acupoint injection therapy to the body of a patient. Administration does not include venous injections, administration, legend drugs, and controlled substances. And then it goes on to defining controlled substances and legend drugs. And I think there's been discussion or that we want to discuss about this rule if we want to keep the rule. And we're thinking with that rule that it could inhibit us and with what we're trying to also doing things with trying to procure our supplements for acupoint injection therapy. I don't know. What do you...
Are you talking about legend drugs?
Yeah, like the legend drugs.
I don't remember exactly what that includes, what that means.
A legend drug is basically, as described in the Pharmacy Act, a prescription drug. It makes direct reference. The administrative rule makes direct reference. And for the record, this is Kevin McDonough, Assistant Attorney General speaking. It makes reference specifically to the Pharmacy Act's definition of legend drug, and it is in essence the functional equivalent of a prescription drug.
Does that mean a prescription vitamin?
A prescription drug. So if it's a vitamin, then it would mean that, yes, there would be a prescription. If the FDA has so labeled it as a prescription, then a legend drug, it's a legend drug.
Okay. But I think from when, I mean, I don't know all the specifics, but from when this rule, or I can't even remember, it was so long ago, but when this rule was put in, I think what it was we're trying to get the injection therapy rule set up, but then because of some of the homeopathics and vitamins and stuff, they did put in this legend drugs and controlled substances and this language, and I think this rule in the future may and also further inhibit us trying to procure things that are needed for acupuncture point injection therapy and substances and things like that.
Well, the rule currently abides by what the U.S. code allows. You know, we can't write a rule that would give you more rights than what the federal law would allow, and that's part of it, and Kevin can address this more scholarly than I can, but there's certain restrictions, and if you don't have a controlled substance license, then you can't prescribe, administer controlled substances.
Okay.
So there's certain restrictions that are legally there, and this rule articulates what those restrictions are, and we can't write a rule delete a rule that's there to define things.
To define things. So like if we just have administration, we can't erase, like we can't change, administration does not include these things. Like we actually have to have the whole entire, what it says here in the rule.
I mean, are you saying can we delete legend from?
I'm just saying, because it says administration into application means the direct application of herb, homeopathic, or supplement, and then by injection and topical ingestion, topical inhalation, or acupuncture injection therapy to the body of a patient. And then do we need to still put administration does not include so-and-so?
Well, or the purpose of the rules is to clarify the statute.
Okay.
They're to clarify it in the statute, which is what the rules have to be based upon. It talks about, what the therapies are, what the practice of acupuncture may include.
Mm-hmm.
And under 5872.102.4bii says the recommendation, administration, or provision of dietary guidelines, herbs, supplements, homeopathics, and therapeutic exercise based on traditional Oriental medical diagnosis and modern research according to practitioner training. So the rule complements what the statute says by defining what those therapies and what they include. By law, there's nothing that says that you can prescribe or utilize legend drugs or controlled substances. Mm-hmm. So the rule clarifies that to try to make it, more understandable.
More understandable.
So, in order to be able to use those legend drugs or any controlled substance or prescriptive drug, you would have to have it in statute allowing it.
Okay.
And the statute's not there.
But, we can't procure the rule says to, gives us permission to administer. That's the problem.
Right, and there's already language in the rule and in the statute that allows that. So for these companies, and Kevin's addressed this and done some research. I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Well, I think the main sticking point here, as I understand it, or one of the main sticking points, is vitamin B12 injections. And again, as Larry said, they look first of all to the governing statute, the Licensing Act, and that as an adjunctive procedure within the scope of practice relegates the administration to herbs, supplements, and homeopathics. I think by rule and clarification of the administrative, or by statute and clarification by administrative rule, you've already got ample authority to procure the herbs and the homeopathics. And in fact, there is a definitional section, or in the definitional section that we just referenced, is the word, the definition of provision, and it says, quote, provision is used in subsection 5872.102.4b, which we're just referring to. It includes procurement of the substances listed. So insofar as homeopathics and herbs are concerned, you folks already have the authority to procure those substances. Again, I think where the sticking point is relative to injectable vitamin B12. And if Doppel were to promulgate a rule including procurement of injectable vitamin B12, it would transcend the boundaries of what the legislature has determined to be within the scope of practice as an adjunct therapy. And I wrestled with this a lot. And in fact, I spoke with a member of the acupuncturist community and engaged in, you know, a very, very beneficial dialogue. It was helpful to my understanding of the scope of what we're dealing with. And I was trying to find some sort of way that perhaps injectable vitamin B12 would be permissible. But the bottom line is that the governing statute doesn't allow it. It's not an herb. It's not a homeopathic. So that leaves us with a supplement. Is injectable vitamin B12 a supplement? Well, that term is not defined within either the governing statute or the administrative rule. And I take it to mean, without any clear definition, that it means a dietary supplement. What the statute reads is a recommendation, administration, or provision of dietary guidelines, herbs, supplements, homeopathics, etc. So if we're dealing with a dietary supplement, I don't think vitamin B12 falls within that category. Specifically, if you look at, and I don't know if this is exactly what Larry was referencing, a federal statute, Title 21 of the United States Code, the Food and Drug Cosmetics Act, and I've read other literature which had indicated to me that a dietary supplement is necessarily something that is ingested, or at the very least, it cannot be injected. It has to be applied in some other manner, preferably and maybe solely injection or ingestion. So I look at 21 USCA Section 321, and this has, it's in essence their definitional section, and subparagraph double small letter F states that the term, quote, dietary supplement means a product that is intended for ingestion in a form described in, and then it refers to another section which in essence defines ingestion. And furthermore, it is labeled as a dietary supplement. So my understanding is injectable vitamin B12 is not labeled a dietary supplement. It is a prescription drug. And without the legislature giving prescriptive authority to procure this type of substance, a drug in essence, then Doppel's hands are tied. Doppel is handcuffed because Doppel has an obligation to not confer a greater right or benefit upon any profession than that provided in the governing statute. And then I also found in the Federal Code of Federal Regulations, section, this is captioned Special Requirements for Specific Human Drugs, section 250.201. And this says, quote, and I know I'll butcher this first multi-syllable word, the parenteral administration of cyanocobalamin or vitamin B12 is generally recognized as a fully effective treatment of pernicious anemia. Parenteral
cyanocobalamin.
Thank you. Preparations have not been and are not authorized for use except or on the prescription of a duly licensed medical practitioner. So, again, that's it further would bolster the position that vitamin B12 is a drug that cannot be procured or administered by anyone other than a licensed medical practitioner, and it certainly the injectable, by definition, the injectable vitamin B12 is a dietary supplement, it's a drug, not a dietary supplement. If you can get a bottle of injectable vitamin B12 that is labeled dietary supplement, then yeah, I think you're good to go. You're good to procure it, and you've got authority to use it within the practice. But in the absence of that, the federal definitions define a dietary supplement as something for ingestion, and it has to be labeled as such.
Okay, so is that a federal guideline when you're talking about the phenacobalamin that you're reading there? Is that a federal?
Yes.
And just interestingly enough, the latest medical research is that phenacobalamin, there's a large percentage of the population that cannot convert it to a usable form, and so as an oral dietary supplement, does nearly half of the population no good at all.
As a dietary supplement.
And that only talks about pernicious anemia, but as an acupuncturist, we deal with a lot of peripheral neuropathy. And the injection of a proper form, like hydroxycobalamin, or for some people, cyanocobalamin or adenosylcobalamin, which are compounded, they are beneficial, and they are not readily available as a dietary supplement.
Okay, and I can appreciate that, and by virtue of what the Utah legislature has done, they have said if these dietary supplements are not going to be adequate to treat the condition you have, then you better go to somebody who is within who can have that administered to them within that practitioner's scope of practice. And so I think what I'm saying is, and as you might know, the state of Colorado has enacted a law, legislation which almost, mirrors, for lack of a better word, exactly what you folks are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is that, and I realize you're in a quandary that, you go to the legislature and the legislature says, well, go to Doppel. That's not our concern. And then you go to Doppel and Doppel says, our hands are tied. Go to the legislature. And you're stuck between the proverbial rock and a hard place. But the long and the short of it, the bottom line, is Doppel under Utah case law does not have the authority to expand the scope of practice as dictated by the legislative enactment. And so, what I have concluded is that, I'm sorry, Doppel's hands are tied to procure a rule stating that you can procure a prescription medicine. And again, as Larry said, the informal legal opinion that I've drafted, it hasn't yet been approved. It's on somebody's desk right now for review. And, maybe they'll look at it and say, God, McDonough, boy, did you miss the boat on this one. But I don't think so.
I have another question, though. Not only the B12, we can't even get some of the homeopathics from the companies without...
Are they prescribed? Are they a prescription drug? Are they labeled?
Yes.
What is the label on them?
Yes. Injectable.
Chris, you can come up so that, you guys can come to the table so that you can...
I can hear.
Oh, the shivering one.
Here's just an example, prescription only, and those are injectable. However, there are some that have the same type of label but are oral, and so it's a Legend drug. But my understanding is that for Legend drug, you don't need a DEA number. That's what Colorado people are saying, and New Mexico. So. Controlled substance versus Legend drug are two different things.
Yeah.
It's the exact same substance orally. It's just the way in which it is packaged In the factory in which it's made, there's a sterile procedure that makes it cost twice as much, but it is the exact same substance.
And part of that is to comply with FDA restrictions, which if it's imported in the United States and it doesn't say RX only, then it's not legal to import.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, because it's made, manufactured for another, you know, distribution in another country. But if it's imported in the United States, it has to have the RX only per FDA rules, Federal Drug Administration
rules. Yeah, and so we can't procure that, though, is what we're saying. We cannot procure that. We can procure...
You can procure other...
Not other injectables that we're given. Not the injectables that we are given in this rule and in our law that we are allowed to administer. We cannot procure it from the company that imports it.
And the thing that I just wanted to try to clarify, I don't know if you can help, but in that, I don't know if you were given this Colorado acupuncture license policies of the director.
Is that the one dated 1999?
Yeah, 1999. And they do list out what the permissible substances are for injection, include all vitamins, minerals, homeopathics, and herbals specifically manufactured for non-intravenous injection, such as saline, glucose, lidocaine, procaine, oriental herbs, vitamin B12, chamomile, serapin, and other homeopathic-type substances. So if they're able to procure that, how does that work with the federal law?
Well, and that's a very interesting question. In fact, in Colorado, they kind of put the cart before the horse. The administrative rule, or that directive there that you were reading from, mm-hmm. was promulgated years in advance, decades in advance. Well, yeah, 99 to... 15 years prior to the legislature kind of piggybacking the directive there. And I don't know, I haven't looked into Colorado case law. I would have assumed that it is very similar to our case law, indicating that an administrative body does not have the authority to transcend the bounds of practice is set forth by legislative enactment, but mm-hmm. I found that very interesting as well, and I note that there's a reference, and maybe it's even in that directive, I think there's three other states, I think it's New Mexico, Florida, and there's one other one.
South Carolina, and Arkansas.
Yeah, which have done the same thing, and I know, conversely, you look at that and you say, okay, four states have approved it. That means, you know, 46 states haven't. And that's not a fair statement because maybe nobody else has even considered it. And the four states who have considered it have said, yeah, we can do this. But the way that I read Utah law and in conjunction with the governing statute is Doppel's hands are tied insofar as promulgating any sort of procurement rule which goes beyond the boundaries of the defined practice of acupuncture by legislative enactment. So that's
so the key would be to have, you know, the board has the right to, you know, meet with the legislature. The association lobbyists can meet with legislators and get them to enact something similar to Colorado's law.
And perhaps, I don't know whether or not the last time you folks went to the legislature, Colorado's law was enacted, which I think was June 5th, 2015. You know, maybe that is some sort of, you know, leverage or something you can use to say, look, you know, more states are doing this. And But in the absence of some sort of legislative enactment, I've gone around and around and around, and then I come up with the same conclusion. And again, maybe my section director will look at it and say, you know, okay, you know, what are you thinking? But I don't know. And for that matter, I expect the final draft to be approved, disapproved, edited, in any event released by no later than hopefully the end of the week, so.
And I'll email that out.
Okay. Dave Spadafore.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Dave Spadafore. I have a question of you, Mr. McDonough. If the association and the board wanted to do this, to go to the legislature in January to talk about some of these prescriptive authority injections, you made the comment that you thought B12 would not be allowed to do that because of federal regulation. If other states have allowed it, your opinion is the feds may not approve it. What would the AG's office deduce when it comes to advising the legislature to or to not include that particular substance in legislation?
Yeah, I don't know what, at this point, I don't know what the recommendation would be. And quite frankly, Dave, that, I looked at that in this last federal regulation that I read. That was something that I came upon very, very recently after I had, already come to my conclusion based upon the federal statute defining dietary supplement. But when I read that federal regulation, I thought, how in the heck are these other states, specifically Colorado, getting around some sort of federal preemption? Because, I mean, I don't know if it's what research they had done, prior to enacting their law, but it seems to smack directly in the face of federal preemption. And I tried to call the AG's office in Colorado. I haven't heard back from them yet to see if they were involved in any sort of discussion or did it some sort of informal or formal legal opinion, or if the acupuncturist there just had a lobbyist and went and did battle with the legislature.
But even if that happened with a lobbyist, the Colorado AG would have an opinion to give to the governor to either sign or not sign the bill. And so I think I would actually recommend the board ask the AG's office to make some sort of a preliminary determination on that issue before the Acupuncturist Association undertook potential legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Because as well as I do what would happen on legislation that would be initiated, the AG's office wouldn't opine on it until it's passed. The attorneys, legislative research and general counsel's attorneys would opine on it if a legislator asked to open up that bill file. And then if the bill is drafted, legislative general counsel would opine whether it had any constitutional or other sort of notes they would put on it. Your note from General Reyes wouldn't be there until the bill actually passed.
Right.
And so I think it'd be problematic if your opinion now is if it can't be done, even though other states have allowed it to be done, and then have that notice show up after all the time, effort, and energy and money is expended to pass legislation. And I think this board ought to ask your office to opine on it before the 2017 session.
That's a point well taken. I guess the issue is whether or not that federal regulation has the same clout as a federal statute insofar as preemption effect would be concerned. If it doesn't, it is problematic. If it does have the effect of federal preemption. If it doesn't, then obviously then you go to the legislature and the legislature says within the scope of practice of acupuncture, an adjunctive procedure includes injection of, in essence gives prescriptive authority. But I think, Dave, your point is well taken.
Because what I would hate to see, when we have a great relationship with General Reyes, is I would hate to see an attempt to change a statute to allow for this prescriptive authority, showing other states have done it and using that as one of the basis for changing, mm-hmm. and then have this conflict arise, because that only would create
have a whole federal preemption issue come down and smack it in the face.
Well, but you know, except it hasn't happened in other states. And those other states haven't had the federal preemption.
Yeah, and that's exactly, right. And that's what I just said, is when I looked at Colorado's law, I thought, you know, and I hadn't, when I initially looked at it, I had not yet seen this statute that says may only be administered by a medical practitioner. And when I saw that, I thought, wait a minute, how in the heck does Colorado get around that issue? They might be able to go ahead and you know, they put the cart before the horse and had the administrative rule first and then went and had the legislative enactment. And maybe that, you know, they do things differently there, or they have a little bit different sort of case law. But that doesn't get around what you're just talking about, the federal preemption issue.
You know, well, case law is going to be roughly the same, because aren't we in the same appellate district?
It's state law that governs the. I'm talking about whether or not an administrative body of any given state has authority to promulgate a rule which transcends the boundaries of that specific state's legislative enactment. I'm not talking about. It's a whole separate issue from federal preemption.
Well, yeah, I think we probably need to have
an opinion on the federal.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree at all. Like I said, I've been doing mental gymnastics to see if there's any way that this can be allowed, and then I come across various statutes, and one of which, you know, Dave's points are well taken.
I want to just make one more comment in regards to somewhere you said, well, then the rule, the law is very clear. If we can't do it, then we refer to somebody that has a license to do it. But who has a license to inject vitamin B12 in stomach 36, which is part of what they do in China for neuropathy? Nobody is qualified except a licensed acupuncturist to do that. So we have the ability to do it, but we can't procure it, and we can't refer to a general medical doctor who can do this, because they don't know what to do.
I don't know who might be authorized to do that any profession, and moreover, who might have the expertise to do it. I don't know. I haven't read the Medical Practitioners Act.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is someplace you made a reference that the law is very clear that we can't do it, so we have to refer to someone else, and there's no one else to refer to. I'm just making
right.
that
the colloquial catch 22.
Yeah. What that means is no one in the state of Utah is capable of doing it.
Maybe one of the two or three people that have a medical license that have studied acupuncture.
Maybe.
You know, if they're practicing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned four states. That was in 1999 that the director of DORA in Colorado used his or her reference material to decide, okay, you know, this seems like a reasonable thing. There have been, you know, another handful of states, and other states that are looking into it right now. Washington State allows it, Arkansas, I believe, North or South Carolina, Florida, New Mexico. We recommended this because it was fairly benign compared to, for example, New Mexico, if you were to look at their statute. And that offers all kinds of stuff. So it appears that the federal, that what you're referencing as a federal, is it a regulation or a guideline or whatever, may be just a guideline or
right.
whatever, because, you know, they're way up and above and beyond this is, you know, pretty...
And that gets right at Dave's issue, that, you know, whether or not it rises to the federal regulation, rises to the level of federal preemption. And if it does not, which it may very well not, then I still think you're relegated to going to the legislature.
Well, I agree with that part. There's any question about that based on your analysis. I think that's understandable. The real question is I don't want the association, you know, to go online and try to get something done that after the fact the AG's office would give the governor an opinion that it can't be done.
That would mean
a veto. And that also would talk about, you know, and that's what I don't want to do. You know, the association in Utah is very small. They don't have a lot of resources. And for them to undertake to make a major statutory change in a year where they've got to go in and extend sunset or eliminate sunset,
yeah,
one or two, and to ask for this kind of statutory change is, and then after the fact, you know, if you would opine that it can't be done, even though other states are allowing it to be done. I think that issue needs to be clarified as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So maybe to understand what the board would want is you would like an opinion from the Attorney General's office to determine whether a statute similar to Colorado's, if passed in Utah, would be constitutional and legal under state and federal law.
And it also would meet what this board and the association is asking for.
What do you? I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. But the director's policy is again fairly benign compared to the law that they actually passed, which substantially increased the allowable substances to be injected. So.
Well, and the question I guess is, does the Colorado statute allow? If that were enacted in Utah, would that allow the acupuncturist to obtain everything that they would need?
Including the word, if the legislature so says, right now, the Doppel can't so say, but if the legislature so says, then in the absence of federal preemption, it's the green light.
But didn't I understand that you said the feds preempted B12?
Yeah.
What about some of the others on that one?
What I said is that a dietary supplement is defined as being something that is ingested and has a label on it saying dietary supplement as opposed to prescription drug. But the legislature can still enact something if they feel that it's within the scope of expertise in the ambit of an acupuncturist. To, in essence, that they would be giving, the legislature can give the acupuncturist prescriptive authority for this.
I understand, but I thought you said earlier that the feds have preempted the use of B12.
If I did, I misspoke. What I was talking about is the federal regulation that we've been talking about, Dave, indicates that substance, B12, has to be injected and prescribed by a licensed physician. So
but in Colorado, that's not allowing acupuncture.
Well, it has to be through a medical practitioner, and that's the catch there. Under the federal regulations, this group of people can administer this through injections. And right now, under Utah statute, the acupuncturists are not recognized as being in that group.
Okay.
So that's what needs to be. And then the question would be, if the legislature so said that this group can do this, would that then correspond correctly with the federal rules? Or would we be creating a catch-22 where they would have the state authority but they couldn't do it federally?
Right.
So that's really what we're looking for,
right,
is to find out, because there's no sense doing, you know, all the work to get the law amended if it's going to be in violation of federal law.
Correct.
Yeah. So is the federal regulation merely not law set in stone, but a recommendation, if you will, or something less than than that which otherwise might rise to the level of federal preemption.
Or is there language that would have to be in the legislation to allow this to be done within federal statute?
So can we
I think the Colorado statute says that. There's one portion of the Colorado statute that says subject to DEA regulations or something. And so, you can fashion a bill.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chris.
One of the companies that I spoke with said that, you know, first of all, they wanted prescriptive and as I explained to them, we would need to go to the legislature for that. We have other priorities, which is to remain a licensed profession first. And the other part of the discussion was if there were specified, such as Colorado's director's policy substances, that our state, our DOPPL, which is their DORA, recognized and said that, you know, these are allowable. They said they would consider that. That was more of a discussable issue rather than, first of all, it's, you know, not, we don't have prescriptive. Second of all, we have administration, injection therapy, but not what we can, you know, procure to inject. And so that's where we were looking at the Colorado director's policy.
Right. Under Utah's statute, under the Pharmacy Act, and the controlling statutes, the director of DOPPL, Director Steinigle, does not have the authority to do that.
But the board has authority to write rules.
Right, but the rules have to be within statute, and we have to have the statute. The current statute, the Pharmacy Act, the Acupuncture Act, all of those statutes do not give DOPPL the authority to write a rule that's outside of the statute, and then that would be currently there's limitations on what can be done, and that is one of them. We can't say it's okay to use this because there's other acts and other law that precludes it, that basically forbids it.
We need the legislature to expand the scope of practice, the definitional scope of practice.
And it all has to, they all have to come together under, you know, the Controlled Substance Act, the Utah Controlled Substance Act, the Utah Pharmaceutical Act. We have to comply with those as well as with the Acupunctural Act. So, you know, it all has to come together. All the puzzle pieces have to fit together. And so it would require some things, but, you know, as the board's discussed, first step would be to make sure that if a law similar to Colorado's was enacted or was added to the Utah Acupuncture Act, would it be within the legal parameters established by the U.S. Code? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we don't do something that's going to end up in litigation. Mm-hmm. So I think the board is, you know, I would suggest that you make that motion and ask for that.
I had a quick question. This is Kate Bradshaw for Kevin. In Title 21 of the U.S. Code, does the definition of a medical practitioner exclude an acupuncturist?
I don't know.
That's something we'll have to look at.
I don't know. I would. My gut says yes, but I'm just saying I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
And that's a good question. If
state code perhaps was amended to say acupuncturists can prescribe this limited number of legend drugs, not the full legend, but a limited list of drugs, wouldn't that then be in keeping with, as long as an acupuncturist fell under the federal definition of a medical practitioner?
Right, and that would make somewhat moot the question of whether or not this law were enacted, would it be
correct.
Okay?
No.
So we do need, that would be the first step.
It's not exactly
analogous,
but the Pharmacy Practice Act has a carve-out for dispensing physicians, where physicians are allowed to prescribe and dispense a limited number of drugs, you know, chemo drugs, some cosmetic drugs, we've created a kind of a subset definition of a place where you can do these, you know, two things. And I'm just thinking that an effort where you know, we carved out a scope of legend drugs and said, you know, these, they have very limited prescriptive authority. If that would flow through the federal act and give us the, you know, coverage, or we wouldn't have this legal question hanging over.
Right, so that, I think that's the first step, is to determine that.
So how do we word this? I don't know what, I know what we're trying to do, but you've been taking notes.
Yeah.
So can I make the motion that you read what we're specifically asking for, or do I have to reword it?
Basically, what you're looking for is the Attorney General's office to proffer an opinion, determine the legality of legislation to allow procurement of injectable B12 and other similar drugs for use in acupuncture.
Okay, I think I don't know that I'm going to say injectable homeopathics, Xeritin, whatever.
I think the whole list right here, lidocaine.
Oh, yeah, the list. Okay, the list.
Orinthor, vitamin B12,
yeah.
Tramadol,
okay.
Xeritin,
so
and
we,
other
we can,
homeopathics. That's included in the Colorado statute. Put it under the policies of the director.
Yeah, there's a difference between the statute and this.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yeah.
And so we would want to do
what's under
our statute.
Under the statute? No,
yeah.
I don't know.
The Colorado statute.
You need to consider it as a strategic issue, I would suggest, because there is always a little watch for any openings of prescriptive authority. So you'll draw less opposition the narrower you could perhaps.
Well, this is narrower than
the.
That's what I'm suggesting.
This will probably be.
So that.
If you're on time.
Does anybody object to using the Colorado policy instead of the entire statute?
Do you want to consider various forms of B12 since there are several?
Well, but
or just B12 and leave that generic.
I think leave that generic because they're all B12. Okay, so I recommend that in what that we're asking the AG's office to do include this listing under the policy
that are listed in the directive rather than the statute.
Except I think it wouldn't hurt to include a lot. They say Xeritin and similar homeopathic type substances. I think we should put Xeritin in lidocaine. And Xeritin, I think lidocaine and procaine, because people like me are trained to use those. So,
do you have the reference?
No. I don't think so. Yeah, that's different purpose.
Right, but wouldn't it be in your best interest to have the opportunity to be able to have that in case you need it? If you had someone with an allergic reaction or something? That was what I was told.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Epinephrine in case of you use acupuncture needle and you counter it. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that would be just.
I mean, I did that yesterday with somebody in anaphylaxis, but did it with acupuncture. But epinephrine would be fine. As long as you're.
Okay, I'll draft a memorandum to the director asking for that opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Do we need to vote on the motion or is it?
You can.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Well, let's make a vote on that motion. Say aye.
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 Okay. What's next on our and next on our agenda, discussion investigation review. I was
Brian's not here from investigations, but he had a complaint on an individual who is a licensed acupuncturist, but he was advertising as a doctor, and he wasn't listing it as doctor of acupuncture, but at other times he was. But in looking at his qualifications, he doesn't appear to have any kind of a doctorate degree. He just has a certificate that's from an organization in California that says he's a doctor of acupuncture, but not a degree. So we just wanted to talk with the board about would you see that as a violation, which under the statute, it does say you cannot advertise as a doctor of acupuncture unless you, in fact, have a doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. And this is something that could come to the board at some point in a hearing or in action. So I wanted to get the board's view on this, I'm not familiar with all of the education that's required to practice acupuncture.
Right now, most Chinese medicine schools in the States it's a master's degree of acupuncture and open medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have an option to do a doctorate degree after that, which is another couple of years.
Right.
They call it DAOM. But then there are schools now that are starting the first professional doctorate degree, which means once they go into school and they graduate, it's a doctorate degree.
Okay, and they would have
something that would say that, they would have that doctor.
This individual's practiced for a long time, and I don't think there's any indication that he's gone someplace and gotten a doctorate.
Yeah, and then there are those that went to school in China and they've gotten PhDs and stuff, but they would have documentation, diplomas and stuff, so.
New Mexico.
And see, that's the other thing too, is there are states that have, like our states, our title is licensed acupuncturist.
Right.
But then there are states that have different titles. So like in New Mexico, it's doctor of oriental medicine. So even though they've gone to school, say they go to school in New Mexico or Colorado or wherever, and they go apply for the New Mexico licensure as a doctor of oriental medicine. And that's what their title is. Florida is acupuncture physician, and Rhode Island is a doctor of acupuncture. And so the title within the licensure statute, sometimes it won't exactly match, but it is, I mean, they're called doctors in New Mexico because of the title of their licensure.
Well, they have more extensive training.
Yeah, and they do have more extensive training and stuff. And it'll
doesn't sound like a good idea for somebody to be
unless they don't
have anything that says that they're a doctor, they shouldn't be saying that or advertising it. It's in there.
Okay, I'll pass that on to investigation.
So is there just the one person?
Okay.
All right, can I be seated?
Yes, thank you very
much.
Hey,
thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. And then the dry needling, just some issues that came up to me was the issue of feeling. With dry needling, where right now there's no code, like a billing code or a billing number for PTs to bill dry needling, and we're wondering if there are PTs that are actually billing dry needling and getting paid for it, and within their thing. And then the other issue was. There are PTs that come from other states and everything, and other states have different training requirements for becoming dry needling practitioners for physical therapists. And I think the PTs here passed some type of rule with Doppel that they're grandfathered in, which kind of goes against their whole
statute. The only ones that would be grandfathered would be those who are licensed in Utah and have done the training.
Okay.
They can't come from out of state and be grandfathered.
If
they come from out of state, they have to comply with that licensing part
of what's doing the performing dry needling. And
yeah, they'd have to comply with all the training in the statute.
Okay. All right. So is that, I don't know, have they been doing that? I don't know.
Physical therapists aren't up to their board and their bureau manager and the, I can let investigations know that there's been information about billing, because if there's a billing problem, that could be looked into.
Yeah.
If they're falsifying billing records.
Yeah, and it could be because, there have been things around the U.S., around the nation, that there's gray areas on where the bill, dry needling, there isn't a CPT code for dry needling, and so there are physical therapists that have been billing under, manual therapy or something like that, and they're getting paid for it, and so it's going against, there's no, they can't bill that. It's basically insurance fraud.
There's actually a lawsuit, I think it's in one of the Carolinas, for fraudulent billing of a physical therapist doing manual therapy for dry needling.
So can investigations... And I have had clients that have said my insurance will not pay for you to do acupuncture, but I can go to a physical therapist and get dry needling and get paid for it. So how are they doing it?
Yeah, and how are they doing that?
There's very limited that they can do dry needling. They can't do the same as an acupuncturist.
Tell me.
Yeah, and so that's the issue,
right,
that we wanted to bring up.
Okay, I'll forward that information on to investigations and also to the bureau manager for that,
okay,
physical therapist, so they can get it.
Look at it. Okay. Anything else? Anything that bring up to your mind? Okay.
You know, it's in the next board meeting schedule.
We don't have one scheduled at this time. The next one would be in 2017 unless otherwise requested.
Should we do one in a couple, 3 months, in September? Or
what would we want on our agenda?
We'd want to have the opinion on this.
I'd want to discuss the opinion.
That's the legislature.
The procurement opinion will be finalized, and then the legislative, the analysis of this directive. So I would probably recommend maybe in September or early October.
Let's do September.
Early October, okay. I think, will be better for me.
Okay. October 4th. That's the first Tuesday.
We don't have any other meetings that day.
I think so. I'm going to be traveling, but I think I can be back by then.
Okay.
I think I will be.
Okay.
Connor, what's your schedule October 4th?
I think that'll be great. Sounds perfect.
Okay.
And we should have our new board member by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
That'd be very good.
I was going to ask that question, so that's good.
It's in the governor's office. I understand that last week he met with the chief of staff to go over appointments, but I haven't heard anything more.
Perfect. You also might want to put on the agenda discussion of the sunset.
Yes.
Before the legislature meets.
Yes.
And because of last year's legislation, the board could take positions on legislation.
Yeah.
So you may want to take a board position to encourage the legislature to eliminate sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not put it in the cart before the horse, but you may want to put it on the agenda.
Yeah, let's have that on the agenda.
So I move the meeting be adjourned.
Okay. Second that.
I second that.
Okay.
Hey, thank you for your time today.
Meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Connor.
Thank you.